Hello there, and welcome to the Irish Genealogy Podcast, the place where I talk to you about all things Irish genealogy, from births to baptisms to dog licenses, and I'm not kidding about the last one. Share, subscribe, enjoy, and let's get into today's episode. When you're looking into Irish genealogy, you may have heard the phrase, all records were lost in the fire. The fire in question is Fire at the Four Courts on June 30th, 1922. The cause of this fire was due to intense fighting between the forces of the new provisional Irish government and a section of the Irish Republican Army during the Irish Civil War. It wasn't the cause of losing all records. In this case, I'm going to be talking about census records, and it was not the cause of the loss of many census records in Ireland. For 1821, 1831, 1841 and 1851, certain fragments still remain. Majority of the returns for these years were lost in the fire, however. But, sadly, 1861 and 1871 were destroyed shortly after being taken. For 1881 and 1891, during World War One, there was a paper shortage in Ireland, and yes, I can't even bear to say this, but unfortunately, these 2 years were pulped so that they could be used as new paper during the war. So honestly, I wonder if there was anything else they could have used, because it does not help in an Irish genealogist case. And currently, obviously, the 1901 and the 1911 censuses are the only full censuses that survived. And this one hasn't been released yet, but in 1926 would have been a monumental Irish census return, as for 1926, it's due for release in January of 2027. There are a number of reasons as to why the 1926 census is quite important. One of these reasons would be it would have been the first census of the Irish Free State, as it was now known, after signing the Anglo-Irish Treaty in December of 1921. And obviously you might wonder why we didn't have a census in 1921. This is due to the War of Independence, and no census is taken that year, so it was delayed. And that's not all. The 1926 census also asked some new things that other censuses didn't. For instance, info on previous marriages and children under the age of 15 regarding orphanhood will know if the mother died, father died, or both. Now, while this might not seem like a reason why this 1926 census might be so monumental, to me it is, because it's the first census we would have had in 15 years at the time. Because if you think about it, that's one before the 1926 census was the 1911 census, so there's a 15-year gap in a glimpse into Ireland's past at the time. Out of the censuses that were burned in the fire, the 1851 census is the one that had the most counties with returns that remained. For 1851, you can access returns from the following counties: Antrim, Armagh, Cavan, Clare, Donegal, Down, Dublin, Fermanagh, Kerry, Kildare, Leitrim, Limerick, Londonderry or Derry, Longford, Mayo, Meath, Monaghan, Queen's County, now known as County Leash, Roscommon, Sligo, Tipperary, Tyrone, Waterford, Wexford and Wicklow. For the 1821 census, it has less counties in available. You have Antrim, Carlow, Cavan, Dublin, Fermanagh, Galway, Kilkenny, Kings, County or Offaly, Limerick, Mayo and Meath. For 1831, there are only two counties that have returns that remain, and they are Antrim and Londonderry or Derry. For 1841, you have Antrim, Carlow, Cavan, Cork, Dublin, Fermanagh, Limerick, Longford, Mayo, Monaghan, Queen's County or Leash, Tyrone, Westmeath and Wicklow. So based on the extraordinarily long list of county names in Ireland, you can understand that there are a number of returns that still remain in the counties that I mentioned. So it is worth checking them out. However, you'll probably have a lesser chance finding your family in those ones compared to 1901 and 1911. However, of course, that would depend on, say, if your ancestors from Ireland emigrated to the US, depending on when they emigrated, it would obviously determine as to what censuses to examine, and obviously whatever county they came from, if you can determine that as well, will help you to know if you'll be, if you have a chance in trying to find your ancestors' census return. Now, when you're trying to figure out where the census can be accessed, it can be accessed via a number of well-known sites. For example, it can be found on Family Search, Find My Past, Ancestry, My Heritage, and obviously the Irish Census's own website on the National Archives site, census.nationalarchives.ie. However, the site search function on the National Archives website is not the best, so I would recommend using the other sites I mentioned to find and research the 1911 census. All of them are free to access. I tried on a number of sites. I tried on all of them, and they can be accessed for free on all of them. So you don't have to be pigeonholed into one site if you prefer to use a different one. But now I mentioned that, let's cover some things about the census that you should remember when searching. So first of all, is age may greatly differentiate. I say greatly because I remember I was researching one family and the mother aged by only 1 year in the 1911 census compared to the 1901 census, and I think the father aged something like 15 years. It was something silly like that. I promise you it was the right household. I was making sure of that more than one occasion. But that's one thing that has to be considered. You know, the whole thing about people not knowing their age, or if they did know their age, they mightn't necessarily have wanted to say their age. That's a thing here in Ireland where it's a case of, oh, a woman shouldn't have to say her age, or I don't want to say my age, that sort of thing. As well, you know, names can be mistranscribed. I mean, they were transcribed by human beings, so, you know, there is always room for human error, and it will happen. And I want to actually highlight one thing from a Irish genealogist, Claire Bradley, when she tweeted out saying, a top tip when searching the census at the National Archives, if you can't find someone, make sure to try reversing the names. And shared a link to a return where the surname and forename were mixed up. So instead of saying Smith John, instead of saying John Smith, it should have been the other way around. It should have said Smith John, but that's human error. So that's another thing. And also, not all returns are online. I will stick it in the show notes, but there is a page on John Grenham's website that lists all the returns that are not digitized. For instance, I just happened to find this site on John Grenham's website where it said that a particular place in Dungarvan named Grattan Square was not online in the 1911 census. It was microfiched, but it was not online and transcribed. So to go and look at this return, I have to go to Waterford Library in Waterford City, and where I am based, I can't exactly just hop on a train and go there as much as I would like. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Again, I will put that page in the show notes so you can see it, so you can examine, you know, is an area where I am looking in the census not online, as it might be the reason why you can't find that person in the census, which is what I wish I had known a couple of years ago when I started looking into this branch of my family. As I mean, this person in my family already had a bad track record when it came to finding them in the census. Little did I know that I was just going round in circles looking for a census return that wasn't online. So it's best to check this page on John Grennan's site as well. When you're looking at the two census returns next to each other, so the 1901 and 1911 census, you'll see that the 1911 census has a little more information compared to the 1901 census as to what it offers. The part in where it has more information is about the marriage and the number of kids. What I mean by this is it tells you how many years the parents have been married for, so you can determine when they would have started having kids and how many kids have they had in their marriage and how many are still alive. Now, this is helpful because it gives you an idea of how many people you're looking for, because if you cross-reference to this family search indexes after in the 1860s and 1870s, if you stuck in a child's name and followed by the parents' names, it would give you the indexes of ones up, I think, to about maybe the late 1870s. I lost the number out of my head, but it would bring you up to about that year. So when you're looking on our genealogy for these children, it helps if you had an idea of how many there were. Now, it would only be written in the mother's column. So if the mother had died by the 1911 census and the father was still around, 9 times out of 10, it won't say how many kids had been born, nor how many years the couple had been married, which can make it a bit more challenging, but it would just mean that you would be looking through an awful lot of birth records, and depending on the surname, might be a fairly small, easy task, or it might be a fairly large, slightly difficult task. This tip that I have is mainly for if you're actually searching on the census website itself, is try a lot of searches. And what I mean by this is, if you have a name or you're searching for a name that has a number of variants, try them all, because searching for one won't bring up the rest. You have to kind of do the searches individually. Another tip I have is, when you're searching for someone who might have served in the army or had a relative that was in a mental asylum or some institution, is that their version of GDPR compared to ours would be to abbreviate the names to the extent of just initials. So for example, John Smith would be JS, or, well, seeing as we're doing surname forename, SJ. I had a case like that in my own family where my 2x great-grandmother Mary Fraher, née Walsh, unfortunately died in a mental institution in 1914. And I got stuck trying to find her, and little did I know, she was transcribed as M. Fraher, her married name, on the 1901 census, and was just M.F. on her 1911 census. So there is a lot of trial and error, but it is a valuable resource that we are lucky to have, considering our past census records. And that's the episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I should have probably apologised at the start, but I'll do it now. I had a lot of things going on, in the sense that I had many projects going on and I didn't exactly know when I get back to this. But now that I kind of got a rein on my current projects and I know what I'm going to be doing in the future, it has enabled me to come back and record more of this, which I do enjoy doing, and I know many listeners out there who listen to the podcast enjoy it too. And I want to thank you for putting up for the extremely long wait since December 24th, and it is currently the 25th of September as in when I'm recording this. Don't know when I'll be putting it out, hopefully today, but anyway, thank you to everyone who listens and supports me and the podcast and all my other ventures. It means a lot. And on that note, see you next time, everyone.